and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Let my tongue be instructed by the inspiration of God. For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him illumination. Let my spirit man that is within this body, this earthen vessel, be illuminated. And let me speak as I ought to speak, without restrictions, without limitation, without misunderstanding, in the name of the Lord Jesus, without limits. Let the limits be lifted. Let there be such unprecedented move of God in this house. Let restrictions be broken. I pray for new beginnings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let chains break. Let yokes be destroyed. Let burdens be lifted. Let there be light in Jesus' name. Amen. All over this place, Heavenly Father, let limits be lifted. Let restrictions be broken. Let burdens be lifted. Let the veil be destroyed. Let the blindness be destroyed. For it is written, there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in men and in women. And the inspiration of the Most High giveth them illumination. Let the spirit within us, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, be illuminated by the inspiration of the Almighty. Breathe upon us fresh breath and let us see like we've never seen before. Let the error be corrected. And I pray that this generation will not miss it, like in the days of our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been burdened with some weightier matters, and it has to do with our continent and Ghana as a whole. And a lot of people have asked me, Papa, what is wrong with our color? What is wrong with this thing called black? And some of them have believed that the black race is cursed, and that we were cursed by Noah, and believe that we are the descendants of Ham. And I've studied and looked at certain scriptures critically, and it is critical that I begin this new series to correct a wrong thinking and to cause a paradigm shift, and to also attempt by God's grace in Jesus' name to reverse or change an error, and to make you believe that the black race is not cursed, and the fact that Noah did not curse Ham, and it was Canaan that was cursed. Cursed be Canaan. Servant of servants shall he be. Ham was not cursed. And the fact that we came from Ham, a curse was not pronounced on us, because we came from the son of Ham, known as Cush. And Cush was one of the sons of Ham. And the word Cush means the man with the dark skin. So it's true that we came from Ham, and it's true that Ham uncovered the nakedness of his father, but Ham was not cursed. The curse was pronounced on the last born of Ham, Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. Servant of servant will he be. Turn to somebody and say, you are not cursed. And you are not cursed. You are blessed. Now, Cush was not cursed. Ham was not cursed. The rest of the sons of Ham was not cursed, but they were not blessed and they were ignored. And that in itself is a very serious thing. When your father chooses not to bless you, but he also chooses not to curse you. He decides, I'm not going to curse you, but I'm not also going to bless you because you gave me a hard time, because you were a difficult child or a kid. And therefore, I'm not going to curse you because you are my son, but I'm not also going to bless you. That in itself is a very serious thing. But we were not cursed. So keep that in mind. And please understand that when children are born anywhere upon the face of the earth, either in Singapore, Malaysia, or North America, Latin America, in Europe, the Middle East, or in Asia, they have two eyes, a nose, ears, same organs like you and I. They don't have different organs like you and I. And people who live in Europe and other parts of the world don't have more than 24 hours like you and I. They have 24 hours, we have 24 hours. It is what we do with the 24 hours that determines what we become. So please understand that. It also has to do with upbringing, mindsetting. Upbringing, mindsetting. And that is very important. For as a man thinketh, so he is. What has disadvantaged us from this part of the world? It is proving that every continent in this world are, for whatever reason, reducing poverty or eradicating poverty. But Africa is the only continent that poverty is still rising. Poverty is still rising in Africa. Every other continent, for whatever reason, have been able to eradicate poverty. We are still struggling with poverty. I've come to the conclusion that as much as we have spiritual problems, our problem is not also just spiritual, but it's also lack of understanding. Lack of understanding. And it has to do with mental programming. And we need a paradigm shift. We need to rethink. We need to be rewired. We need to deprogram and reprogram. We need to be deprogrammed and reprogrammed. Tell somebody, deprogram and reprogram. Tell somebody, we need to be rewired. Because unless we think differently than we are thinking right now, unless we think differently than our fathers, chances are that the next generation after us may suffer serious consequences. Now, if you go back and you look at this particular generation, and since the Fourth Republic, and people who have had wealth and lost their wealth, and before the Fourth Republic and after the Fourth Republic, or the Fourth Republic, you realize that one of the things that destroyed and killed some of the old money or wealth or influence of this country was military regimes. And we use the gun and terror, you know, to destroy wealth or wealthy people. But for whatever reason, we've moved from the military era to a constitutional era. And even though we're in a constitutional era, for whatever reason, we still find ways through the constitution to destroy one another. So the thing is not about the military era or the military. It is something in us as a people that hates. It is what I call hatred for self or hatred for one another. We have self-hatred. For whatever reason, we don't celebrate our own. And there is something in us that destroys one another. So even though we are in a constitutional era, we find ways and means to use the constitution, the court system, serious fraud, and national security and other arms of government to terrify people. And either we take their businesses or we stop them from prospering during the time when our party is in office. We literally wipe them out. And if we can't wipe them out, we intimidate them, terrify them, harass them, torture them, buffet them to the point where they either leave town, they run out of town, or they go under the radar and they stop becoming relevant. And we take over until our time expires, and when their party comes into office, they do the same thing to us. So it becomes a vicious cycle from one generation to another. We have been programmed to destroy one another. Because if we don't manage this thing with understanding the principles of God, and I've come to the conclusion also that Jesus said the other day that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light, which is referring to you and I. And I've also realized that there are so many people who are not born again. They are not saved. They don't believe in the person of Jesus, but they are practicing the principles of Jesus, and it is working for them. And we that believe in the persons of Jesus, for whatever reason, we don't believe and we don't work his principles. So we are anointed, we are gifted, but we are lacking. And that's why on the 15th of July, I'm calling again for the professionals and the business community for our prayer breakfast meeting here on the 15th, because I realize that I also take responsibility that one of the things that I have done personally wrong, I don't know about other preachers, is the fact that we have educated you to believe, which is true, but it's half truth, that you need the anointing and spirituality and the giftings of God to make it in life, which is true. But the anointing and the giftings of God is not enough to build a church, and it's not also enough to build a transgenerational business. You need to understand the principles that govern business, the principles that govern governance, the principle that governs everything in life. There are principles that God has set in motion that governs everything. And we have to go back to Genesis to see the beginning and how it was done and the foundation and the beginning of all things. But and go back. We need to go back. We need to align ourselves with the original intent. The original intent has not changed. And if we walk away from the original intent, we will suffer consequences that may be unbearable. And I'm more concerned about what happens after you and I, not this generation. Solomon said something the other day. He said, "What shall become of the man that inherits me? Will he be wise or foolish?" Solomon. And he said, if he's a wise son, then I've done well. But he said, but if he's a foolish son and he's selfish and into himself, then I've labored in vain. And I believe that a lot of the names I've mentioned, and so many others that I'm not able to mention for now, but I'm going to be on this subject for a while, have labored in vain because they fail in raising up sons and daughters with the capacity to carry on the legacy. For whatever reason, we train or we prepare the future for our children through inheritance. Building houses, making investment, exposing them to business contacts and to wealth. But we don't prepare them for the future. We prepare the future for them, but they are not prepared for the future we have prepared for them. And if you don't prepare them for the future, you can leave behind everything and it will be mishandled and destroyed because they were not prepared for the future. I want to begin by saying some very serious things. And tonight at the communion service, we have communion service once a month. The Lord said, move the communion service once a month. Bring my people together and bring them to the table to partake of my blood and my body and pray for the healing of my people. Pray for their healing. So we want to do that again tonight. And I want you to work with me. I want us to turn our Bibles to Genesis 1, 28, the Amplified Version. I want to talk about stewardship. And I want us to look at it from different perspectives. Stewardship, especially in the light of Scripture. And why Africa is still failing. And why the West, the East, and even Middle East is doing so very well. Because I've studied the wealth of a lot of these countries, and I've come to the conclusion that they understand something we don't understand, which is from the Bible. Stewardship, understanding that we are a trustee. We are a trustee of everything that we have and we shall ever own, that God is a possessor of all things. And unless we understand that we are trustees, we will always mishandle, abuse, and mismanage whatever we have, whether it's wealth, time, influence, gifting, anointing, position, favor, access, opportunities will be abused because we lack the understanding of who we are. When I go to London, I have a lot of churches in the city of London. They don't pay for my hotel unless I'm preaching for my church. They don't pay for me. They don't give me certain privileges. And the reason, because I'm a trustee of the church. And the laws, the charity law, does not allow me as a trustee to benefit from the church. It's against the law. It's jail time. And so all the members on the board are not paid. They don't receive any allowance. They don't have any privilege because they are holding in trust. May I subject to you, every one of you under the sound of my voice, that you are holding in trust that anointing, that gift, that favor, that opportunity, that position. You are also holding in trust, even time, which is the most expensive commodity in this world, because you can't buy time. You cannot buy it. Everything we have, everything we are, and that we shall ever be, we are stewards of it. You are a trustee. You are not to benefit personally from it. God will find ways to bless you, and he will also use the same opportunities he has given you to bless you. But it is very wrong for you to assume and to think that the blessing is for you and your immediate family. You are abusing the privilege. You are taking an advantage of. And you are in violation of the law of God. And there are so many people in the church, and on the political scene, on the economic and financial scene, on the religious scene, who are stewards but are not good stewards of what God has given to them. And the reason why Africa is suffering and most of our politicians are not doing well is because when they come into office, they forget that they are stewards and they are trustees, and that they are holding in trust that office, that political power, and the resources of that particular governmental arm of government, that they are put there as trustees or as stewards to manage those resources well in the benefit of the country, the nation, and not for themselves. And that they cannot assume that it is only the people from their party have what it takes, or that they should reward people of their party who do not have the capacity to manage certain deals and contracts, that they must forcefully give it to people from their party and deny other citizens because they are not part of their party. Unless there is a paradigm shift and a renewing of mind and a different way of thinking and approaching things, we will continue to destroy one another and be like crabs in a basket. A man was walking in Latin America and he carried two baskets on his shoulders. One basket was covered, the other one was opened. A friend met him and said, "What are you carrying on your shoulders?" He said, "Why is one covered and the other one open?" He said, "The one that is open is full of black crabs. And the one that is closed or covered is full of white crabs." And he said, "What is the difference between the two?" He said, "The white crabs, as soon as one attempts to go out, all the others will follow and get out. So I have to restrict them by covering it." He said, "The black crabs, I don't have to do that, because they themselves are enemies to one another. If one attempts to come out, all the others will pull it down and say, 'Where do you think you are going? Come down. You are here.'" Hey, yeah. Somebody say, "Hey, yeah." Somebody say, "BNO. Ayalolo. We all belong here. Where do you think you are going?" Tell somebody, "Where do you think you are going?" "You are not going anywhere." He said, "You are not going anywhere mentality." And he's, "You don't deserve to leave us here. You can't You can't rise above us. You can't leave us here. You belong here. Boom! You pull him down. And life come down. So we are pull him or her down syndrome, mentality, and generation. You know, I was having dinner with Bishop T.D. Jakes the other day. He's coming in September for some serious meetings. Yes, sir. And Mrs. Alakija and others. It's a heavy team. We are doing the African Business Kingdom Leadership Summit in Ghana. You know, so get ready. Tell two people, get ready. But he said something. He said, Archbishop, he said, I realize, Archbishop, that these jealousy and envy among African Americans, we brought it to America on the boats. We brought it. When they brought us here as slaves, he followed us on the boats. We didn't leave it in Africa. We came with it. And it's everywhere we are. It's a little bit different from the Nigerians, but it's very prominent among us, especially for me as a Ghanaian, it's really prominent among us. With this new government that has come, I told you something the other day, that there are brigade of liars who they resurrect and come out from their graves anytime a new government comes. And one of their ministry, there's a new ministry created, not by the president of Ghana, but by brigade of liars. And they always come and create another ministry. And they have a minister of that ministry. And it's the ministry of the brigade of liars. And they go lying about people and misrepresenting people and deploying the system, not guns. Like in the time of military rule, they deploy the weapon of envy and jealousy and the weapon of slander, misrepresentation, and rumor mongering to destroy people. And they target anybody who has done well for themselves, irrespective of how you made it. They go after people who have done well. And if you destroy somebody to get their wealth or to become wealthy, you have sown a seed, you shall also be destroyed. It's just a matter of time. You cannot sustain your wealth or your influence or your access or your breakthrough if you acquired it by destroying others. You reap what you sow. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's just a matter of time. And hear me, political power and wealth has expiry date. So it's just a matter of time. If you destroy others by access, by influence, by connection, it's a matter of time. And what you have built will be teared down. It's a principle. It's just a matter of time. I have learned to be patient and I have learned to wait on the Lord, because I've seen the rising and the falling of many great people. And I've come to the conclusion that there are some battles you leave it to time to win it and to fight it. And I've learned not to be envious or to be jealous. And I've learned to long suffer. I've learned the principles of long suffering and endurance and patience, because Job said, for all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. And I have learned that vindication is in the womb of time. And it doesn't matter how powerful people may look today, it's just a matter of time. I've seen them rise and I've seen them fall. I've seen them come and I've seen them gone. And I'm not just talking about political power, I'm talking about wealth. I'm talking about anointings and giftings, even in the church, even on the religious scene. I've seen very powerful people, very gifted people, who everybody rushed to their meetings and they were like gods. And suddenly they disappeared from the scene. And I diligently looked around and diligently searched for them, and behold, they were not. And I've seen people who have systematically built not in haste. Met Simida, Wabotansu, Metomibu, Messinie, Namini, Jesus, oh, he knew me. Messinida, Wabotansu, Insuritua, me. Please be seated. I'm not in haste. This journey, you run by patience. Every other race, speed. But this one requires patience. He said, run the race that is set before you with patience. I'm very patient. I'm not in haste. With time, we will know who won. There are people, they are winning right now. But it's just a matter of time and they'll become history. But we need to build with clear and a better understanding of the principles, because principles are products of sound doctrines. You never go wrong when you build by principles. Amplified Version, Genesis 1 and 28.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man.
You see this thing that you just read? That is where it all is. And that's why Colgate, the Rockefellers, Coca Oats, and many, many big businesses. I will give you some more on Wednesday because I'm going to try and break this thing down. I'm not going to rush it. If you look at some of those transgenerational blessings, businesses, families, it's because of these two principles. Using it for the service of God first, and second, the service of humanity. When you miss these two principles, it doesn't matter what you carry, it will not be transgenerational. It's selfish, and it will die with you and perish with you. And when you pass, some may even lose it before they die, and for many, it ends when they die, because it was not used for the service of God and the service of humanity. It's a principle. It's a principle that is not broken. It is not negotiable. And it is irrevocable. During the time of Hitler, they surrounded a small town in Germany and captured the Jews in that small town and put them all on board a train and took them outside of the city to a village during the time of winter, without heat and without blankets or anything, and left them in the middle of the winter out there to die. They were freezing. They were cold. They were shivering. A young man sitting by an old man and saw the old man shivering. He was freezing. And the young man decided to warm the old man. He started massaging his head, his hands, was talking to him and warning him and massaging him to keep him warm. Whilst everybody else was freezing and thinking about themselves, after many hours, he came to himself because he was really into what he was doing and realized that everybody around them in the area was dead. They were dead. They had all frozen dead. And that the only people who survived was him and the old man. He did not know that reaching out to help that old man, to warm him up and to keep him alive, was keeping himself alive. If you understand the principle of giving and stop being deceived, the thing that when you give, you are doing somebody a favor. And we begin to understand that giving is keeping yourself alive. That giving guarantees longevity. And when I talk about giving, I'm not just talking about money. Money is the most, you know, basic, little among every other thing. Money have nothing to do with true riches. As we go ahead, you will see the difference between material riches and true riches. And what qualifies you to have true riches. It's amazing. Talking about giving of your time to God and humanity. Giving of your resources to God and humanity. Giving of your talents, giftings, anointing, capacity, skills to God and to humanity. It's a simple principle. When you miss these two principles, you are a disappointment. You were not born. You did not exist. You didn't come into this world. You are a non-entity as long as heaven is concerned. You did not come. You were not born. Heaven does not recognize your birth certificate. I'm telling you. And that is the reason why Africa and Ghana is suffering the way we are suffering. Because we are developed and trained with a consumer mentality. We are not people who create. We don't create anything. Everything we eat and we drink, including toothpick, we import it. Toothpick that we use. We import it. We are a consumer mentality. We don't create. We are not creative people. We are dependable. We depend on people. We are dependent on foreigners, dependence on foreign goods than our own goods. Unless we stop being selfish, we are always going to depend on others. All the rice we buy, we eat in this country is imported. I'm told that we spend about $1 billion a year to bring vegetables from South Africa and from the Netherlands. $1 billion. So what are we doing here? All of us, what are we doing here? Can't we all go into farming? I'm talking about proper farming. And get some of that money to stay here. Why are we giving it all out there? It just tells you who we are. That we are programmed in a way that we are not programmed to create and to build. That's why pastors can break away good church like Action to go and start their own thing. Because they never have the capacity and the audacity to attempt anything on their own. They need courage from some of us who have made it. They need to use our platform. They need to use our contact. They need to use our exposure. They need relevance from us in order for them to do something and to break from us and to take from us and to develop something from what we have built without them going out there to start on their own like some of us started with nobody. From the scratch, there is no church that can say, I took one soul from their church. No church. I built from the scratch. I've never had any helper, and I've never taken from anybody. That's why we have over 67 branches in 67 branches of Action in Accra, and we are still packed. Because I've never scattered anybody to build mine. And anybody who has scattered me, and I've taken even one soul from me by a mischief, will lose everything they have. It's a matter of time. I'm telling you. And hear me. I am not bitter. And I'm not speaking because I'm hurt. I'm not hurt at all. But I'm speaking out of a matter of principle. A principle stand that you don't scatter and bring me down to build yours. It does not work. It's just a matter of time. You might think it's working now. It's a matter of time. It will catch up with you. And sometimes God can defer judgment. He can defer judgment and not do it to you. But he will make sure it happens to your children. And that is the principle why a lot of people think that the black man is cursed because we came from Ham. The judgment of Ham was deferred. The father didn't curse Ham. He cursed the last born. So sometimes God can defer judgment and spare you the father and the mother in your day and make sure it comes upon your children. It's a very serious thing. It's in the Bible. So don't think you are getting away with it. Because you've done well up to now and you are still doing well. You are deceiving yourself. Scripture cannot be broken. It will catch up with you. It's a matter of time. The month of July and August on God's calendar are very strategic months. And I want to attempt to speak to you prophetically that you are about to come into a wealthy place. That God is about to bring some of you into realms of blessings, dimensions of blessings and wealth like you have never imagined before. And the reason why a lot of people struggle to work for God, give to God, do things for God and humanity is because of this scripture in Deuteronomy 8:17 that a lot of people assume and give credit to their skill, how hard they work, educational background, connection, how gifted they are, or the capacity they build. So they take credit or give credit to all those things. But it is not how hard you work, go ahead, or how smart or intelligent you are.
And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth.
You see, a lot of people, that's why a lot of people think. That's why in verse 18 it said, for thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Because we get to forget. I've seen people in ministry, in politics, in business, and in different works of life endeavor that were very, very understanding and humble and very simple till they came into some kind of relevance or wealth or influence or power, and suddenly they changed. They changed. And I look at them and I start backing off from them. They are still in church and I love them, I deal with them, but I don't bring them into my holies of holies. I can't stand arrogance. And the reason why sometimes I talk about my background and where I've come from, I want to always keep it simple and I want to always give the grace of God credit. And I never want to convince myself to believe that I have arrived. And I'm a very blessed man in my own way. I don't brag about who I am and the opportunities and the access I have out of this country. I don't. I keep it very easy and simple. And when I talk about my upbringing and where I've been, it's because I did not stay there. So I'm not embarrassed to talk about my past and where I've come from. Because I don't give credit to anything material. I'm very, very, purposeful. And I'm very, very, I'm convinced and very sure of what I do. I'm very intense now. Because when you start experiencing the kind of favor and access I enjoy, not just in Ghana, you don't know me in Ghana, outside. When I was coming, I flew with a guy, a very powerful guy from Washington. And when we got to London, I was met by some friends, by some people. And I told him to join me. And he came with me to a place and all that. And he was traveling with this traveling bag, very expensive. And it's very nice. And so when I saw it, I said, oh, I like this. I like your style. He said, I'll get you one. I said, oh, don't worry. I just admired it. So I was dropped at my hotel. And his driver, as a matter of fact, dropped me at my hotel and he left. He lived very close to the airport. So I went to sleep for about 2 hours. And they woke me up to shower and to change to come on the flight to Accra. And then my pastor said to me, the gentleman that dropped you is still here. And I said, what is he doing? He said, he brought you a gift. And I saw the traveling bag, is 2 pieces. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. I mean, there are levels. When you carry that, it makes a statement. It does make a statement. When you go to bank, not here, but when you go to bank in Europe to ask for overdraft and things, they take some things into consideration. Sometimes you invite your bank manager to your house. He looks at the furniture in your house, the whole setting, everything. And he weighs it to see how much it costs, the price. And then he looks at the watch you are wearing. Take some things into account to see your worth. He checks some things. In the case of an emergency and all this, what and what is it that he has that we can sell? They weigh some things. They don't just give you money. Anyway. So he brought it to me and he said, I haven't slept. I went to town to get you one because you you said you liked it. And I said, oh, I didn't mean it that way, but I appreciate it. Thank you. And then when I was coming, after a while, I slept. And about an hour or two before we landed, the flight attendant came, two of them came to me and said, who are you? And I said, I'm an archbishop. He said, oh, I see. You are very popular. And he said, since you've been sleeping, a gentleman from the top and a lady have been coming for hours now, insisting that they have to see you. And I said, okay, let them come. And right there, even when I was sleeping, people were holding a seed in their hands to bless me. Asleep, over 30,000 feet above sea level. And at the airport, I see somebody with a bag. And I saw, it's very nice, I like it. And he goes into town to buy me one. It's about $10,000. And goes to buy me one. And when I look at it, I say, wow. I'm trying to tell you something. That if you will stop being selfish and be selfless and care about others and the service of God, God will chase you with blessings wherever you are in this world. There are things you don't have to pray for. You know, I watch anytime there is golf on CNN, you will see this particular Rolex watch. It comes on the screen. Very, very, very powerful Rolex watch. And one time I was lying in bed and I saw it and I said, wow, I just admired it. I just admired it. Every now and then when I say I admired it, I didn't pray for it. I didn't sow a seed for it. I just admired it. During my 60th birthday, a very wealthy friend of mine called and said, listen, I can't come, but I'm sending you a gift. So I was here. Somebody flew all the way from that country and brought me a parcel. When I opened it, it is that Rolex watch that I see on CNN. He sent it to me and he said, I think you will like it. You know? And I didn't pray for it. I can tell you so many testimonies that you dislike me because Ghanaians, we are small-minded people. You know, one of the things is you're trying to hundo do. And the other people will say he's boasting. But if I boast, I'm boasting in the Lord. But we are people who don't appreciate anything. You know, when you talk, in Nigeria, people will boast to do things for God. Hey, in Nigeria, they will boast to do things for God. They take pleasure in doing things for God. In Ghana, we hide. We hide this mentality. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. It's a very, very interesting mentality we have. People scheme to give, they even lie to give. When it comes to tithing, for instance, some of you divide your tithe into three or four portions. And you spread it among all your prophets and your churches and your orphanages and things in town. But you are in violation of scripture. And tithe is not also on the Old Testament. When we talk about Old Testament, some of you don't understand. Old Testament is just the Mosaic Covenant. Genesis is not part of Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they are major prophets. They are not Old Testament. Malachi, you look at Malachi, Obadiah, and all those scriptures. Hosea, they are minor prophets. If you look at the Psalms and Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, they are not Old Testament. They are not Old Testament. Old Testament is just the Mosaic Covenant. There is the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. They're different covenants. But this mentality that everything outside of the New Testament is old covenant is wrong. As a matter of fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not part of the New Testament. So if you are talking about Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is also Old Testament. Because the New Testament is everything that was said and done when his blood was shed. After the cross. Anything before the cross is not New Testament. So this mentality that tithing is under the Mosaic Covenant and is not mentioned in the New Testament is wrong. Because tithing is not Old Testament. Tithing was before Old Testament. And it started with Abraham in Genesis 18 when the Bible said, and Abraham gave tithe of all, not some, did not divide it, but all to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek gave him communion, wine and bread. And the Bible said that if ye be Christ, then are ye the seed of Abraham. How many of you here are the seed of Abraham? Now, if you believe that the Genesis is Old Testament, then you are not the seed of Abraham. Because the Mosaic covenant was made only for the Jews. It wasn't made for the Gentiles. So we are not subjected to the Ten Commandments. I am not subjected to the Ten Commandments. I am a Gentile. And the Ten Commandments was not made for me and you because we are Gentiles. It was made for Israel. It was specifically cut for Israel. And as a Gentile, I come into the blessing through Christ. I become the seed of Abraham through Christ. And the Bible said that Jesus hung on the cross, who became a curse for you and I, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. Not the Jews, but the Gentiles. So in order for the blessing of Abraham to come upon you and I, we have to be born again through Christ. Now, the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. Is anybody hearing me? So you have to be very, very careful of that mentality that I am the Genesis and major and minor prophets, the Psalms and the Songs of Solomon, the inspirational songs are Old Testament. You are in error. And the reason why our giving is wrong is because we have all this wrong thinking and mentality that approaches everything we do for God. And we brought ourselves under a law that was never made for you and I. It was never made for us. Mosaic was not made for us. It was made for the Jews. We are Gentiles. And we come in through Abraham by Christ Jesus. Let the blessing of Abraham come upon us. And if you accept the blessing of Abraham, then you have to tithe without questioning. See, I hear you. Okay, because of time, I'm going to take my time. I'm not rushing this thing at all. And I see that some of you are a little bit bored about my approach because you know me to be. Amen? Lift up your hand and say yes. All right, I'm not going to stir you up because too much of this stirring up without enough illumination and revelation is making us crazy. Psalm 2 verse 8. I want to lay some foundation quickly before I proceed. Ask of me
and I will give you the nations for your inheritance.
For what?
Your inheritance.
I'll give you villages.
Nope.
I'll give you your city.
Nope.
Your father's house.
Nope.
Your nation. But what?
The nations.
Talk to me. I'll give you what?
The nations.
Nations. Go ahead.
And the ends of the earth for your possession.
Ends of the earth. Not visiting the ends of the earth. Not going on vacation. But having what? Talk to me. Having what? You see, if you can't say it, you'll never have it. Come on, talk to me now. If you say it, it will happen. For with the mouth, confession is made unto possession. I said what? Possession of what? The ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. Look at Psalm 81 and verse 10. Psalm 81 and verse 10.
The Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it.
Open your mouth small. Little. How wild is wild? Now, turn to someone and say, take the limits of God. Take the limits of God. Tell someone, take the limits of God. The month of July and August are strategic months, prophetically. July is the seventh month and some cycles will break. There are some major, major cycles that will break and come to an end by the end of July. And as we enter August, the eighth month of the year, you are going to experience new beginnings. You are going to, you can sit there and act anyway. I'm just telling you that you are about to experience new beginnings there is going to come a turnaround in so many lives come August. Uninterrupted blessings, uninterrupted favors, uninterrupted breakthroughs. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Turn to two people and tell them it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Tell them they shall be a performance. They will be a performance. Say, tell them they will be a performance of the word of the Lord concerning you in the month of July and August. Uninterrupted blessings. I see it coming your way. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Please be seated. I'm going to ask you today, between now and communion and Wednesday as I continue, to dare to ask God for big things. Ask God for big things. Many years ago, a friend of mine came to Ghana, Bill McKinley. He was an archbishop. Very good business guy, raised up by a Jewish friend in business. And he saw the ministry at that time and said, I see that you need some help. If I give you $1 million to pay me back in a year without interest, what will you do with it? And he said, I will think about it. I said, I'll think about it. As soon as I said, I will think about it, he said, no, you are not ready for $1 million. So he gave me a gift, but he didn't give me $1 million. And I learned a lesson. You must always be ready. Ask big, think big. Whenever we are praying and the presence of God is here, stop asking for small things. Stop asking for a car. Ask for nations. Ask for possessions of the ends of the earth. Some of you, when it's offering time, all you give is CD. You never give dollars. You never give euro or pound because you value the dollar and the pounds and the euro more than CDs. And yet you are believing God for CDs, dollars and pounds and euro, but you never sow in dollars and euro. You think God is some way sitting somewhere? No. It's a principle and it works. Whatever you don't give to God, you value it more than God. Whatever you withhold, you trust in that thing more than God. And the reason why so many people can't command money and don't have money is because money is your master. And you can't command your master. I'm telling you some very serious things. Are you hearing me? I can command money. I command money. Because money is my servant. Money don't control me. I do so many things without money. And yet, it doesn't make sense. I do so many things without planning and budgeting. And I do it when the inspiration comes. And money comes because money is a servant. Money works for me. I don't work for money. I work for God. I'm not the servant of money. I'm the servant of God. And the reason why some of you can't command money, and you can't command wealth, and you can't command power, is because you are a slave and a servant of it. You value money than God. That's why your money don't serve God, and it doesn't serve humanity. It serves you. And as long as it serves you, it dies with you. But if it serves God and serves humanity, you have the goodwill of God and the goodwill of humanity. It will keep your wealth transgenerational. Put your hands together and give God praise. Genesis 2:15.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
To dress it and to keep it. Say, that is a steward. See, that's a good steward. He was given the garden to keep it and to hold it in trust. Dress it and keep it. Protect it, maintain it, improve on it, make it better. And the reason why a lot of sons and daughters and people can't make better the wealth of their parents and their fathers and their family is because they were never trained to be steward. The reason why people leave the scene, you don't see anyone they have trained and brought up and developed, is because they were not good stewards of their gifts. I mean, look at somebody like Ola Williams, very gifted person, passed away with such a tremendous voice and gift. Now he's gone. Where are the Ola Williamses of today? You know, I think very, very deep. I think very deep. Where are the Ola Williamses of today? He was not a good steward of his gift. Because if you're a good steward, you develop and you multiply yourself. And then there was a guy called Andreas. Andreas used to be married to Ife. And Andreas was very gifted. Plays and sing. My goodness almighty God. When he sang, I felt the anointing of God. And when I stood to preach, my God, he stirred up my waters. He passed away. And where are the Andreas of today? There are so many preachers and so many politicians. When they pass away, that is it. They were not stewards of what they were given. They didn't develop anybody. They didn't pour into anybody. They didn't have the grace and the patience and the endurance to raise others, to mentor others. They are disappointments. They never came to this earth. Their birth certificate is not acknowledged by man or by God. You know, one thing about this president I like, some of the finest lawyers in this country were trained by him. It's amazing. Our people in this church, men and women, were raised by him. One of my attorneys is one of the best in this country because his own is not law. And so many people think I'm too fond of him. I'm not. Because I'm a very deep person in my own way. Very, very deep. You can't underestimate me, but at 40 years, 41 years, I haven't come this far if I was a fool and stupid. And if I was playing with people. And he said, I spoke to him today, and I was listening to him, and I said, this is not the wisdom of Solomon. This is the counsel of Ahithophel. Because there is difference between wisdom and the spirit of counsel. And I said, son, yours is not wisdom. Yours is the spirit of counsel, is the oracles of God. And he was one of those trained by this president. And a man is known by those he trained. If you want to know who I am, stop looking at me and look at the people I've trained and raised. Listen, a fruit does not fall far from the tree. So if you want to know, when people talk of all those nonsense they tell you in town, all these your friends who confuse you about who I am, if you want to know who I am, look at my fruits. Stop looking at me. Are you hearing me, somebody? You did not hear me. You didn't hear me. Hallelujah. And you know what? The people who compare themselves to me should show forth their fruit. Let them show their fruits. And let's see what has become of their fruit outside of their own denominations. I'm talking about sons I have raised outside of action, who I forced to reckon with all over the world, sons and daughters, doing well wherever they are. I called one of my sons recently when I was in America, and his voicemail came on. And when I heard the message on the voicemail, it shook me a little. I said, no, this is my voice. I didn't do this. I didn't put this voicemail. Then by the time it ended, I realized who he was. He sounded just like me, and it was scary. I was driving with my driver the other time, and I was listening to radio, some FM station in Ghana here, and some people were praying, and they were preaching. And they sounded like me, ditto, ditto. And I said to my brother, what is this? At the end of the minute, eh? And he said, oh, Papa, this one, in LFU, they sound like you. Pe, 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 ditto, ditto. Are you hearing me? My definition of success is different from man's definition of success. Let me tell you what impresses me and what I call success. Jesus said, and on that day, I will say unto you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I said, no matter how well you do in life, if you are not faithful, if you are not faithful in what God gave you to do, if you are not faithful in standing here like Bishop Nyako and these ladies that have been here over 30 years, like Obodai over 35 years, holding my hand, and you took away from me what God has given me to build your own, or you took what God gave you to help me to go help somebody else because you are hurt or you are offended, and you follow somebody you think they are more gifted and anointed than me, and you take the blessing of God that you have received by the grace of God on my life to go build another person's ministry to compete with me, you were a disappointment. And as long as God is concerned, you are a failure. If you don't know, I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Period. Don't forget Genesis 1:28. God gave man all these things for two reasons. For the service of God and the service of humanity. And until we preachers and politicians and everybody understands that without love for God and love for country, we mean nothing to God and to posterity. Until a young man came to me and said, Papa, lay hands upon me. Lay hands on me. I want some of this anointing you carry. And I said, can you pay the price? He said, what price? And I said, this oil. I said, this oil attracts challenges. I said, this oil you want, it attracts demons. It provokes controversy. It attracts misrepresentation. So I said, are you ready for it? He said, I said, that is good. You're not ready yet. Another time. Don't envy me. Don't be jealous of me. You don't know the price of what I'm carrying. Because if you know the price, you pray for me. It is required of stewards to be found faithful. Not offended. You know, this thing called offense is killing the church. And it's killing nations. Most of the wars that you've heard from, it's caused by offenses. The unrest you see in many of these Islamic nations, Arab nations, is offenses. Somebody is hurt. ISIS is offense. It's offense. Sometimes good people can become bad people when they're offended, when they are hurt. And a lot of people are trapped by offenses in the church. And for me, I'll tell you something. Anyone I see offended, I don't trust you. Number two, you are an amateur. I will never bring you into my tabernacle. I will avoid you. Hurt people, offended people are tools and weapons and instruments in the hands of demons. Don't forget it. Say, hurt people, offended people are tools, weapons, and instruments of cruelty in the hands of demons. If you are hurt and you are offended, you can be deployed. At any time, Satan will deploy you. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. What offends you? Turn to two people and say, what offends you? What? Use that word. What? What offends you? What is it that you can't let go? Why are you offended? Why are you bitter? Why are you so angry? God said to Cain, why have your countenance fallen? If you do right, will you not be accepted? Why are you bitter? Why are you offended? Why are you hurt? It's because you are a baby. You are refusing to grow up. You are refusing to come of age. You are too much into yourself. If you reach out to others, and you reach out in loving others and showing others love, and stop holding on to your own, you stop being offended. I have reason to be offended every day. Sometimes even some of my pastors and bishops, when I'm preaching and I look at their faces, I get discouraged. I'm telling you, can I be honest? Yeah. I'm just being honest. Look at their faces and you get discouraged. If you are not careful, everything can offend you. Sometimes you are preaching and people are talking to one another. You are preaching. Instead of them to listen, they are talking. Then they are laughing. Then they are talking. As if you said something bad or wrong. And if you are not careful, the spirit of mockery can offend you. You are laughing. Now just say, stop talking to one another and listen. But I'm not going to be offended. It is kids and babies and children that are offended. I'm telling you. If you look at the characteristics of children, they are the one always offended, always hurt, always talking about it, bringing it up all the time, making reference to it all the time. And women also like doing that. Always reminding the man, stop it. It's a bad strategy. Leave it alone. And some men too, they are like women. They refer to the thing and talk about it to a point that now when you show her love, she's not interested in your love. Because you are a baby. Hurt people are people. Offended people are Grow up. Stop being hurt. Stop being offended. Talk about good things. Think about the happy moments. And God will bless you.